Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Today we're going to continue on the episode, The Devil is Prowling, part four, that we are to resist and stand firm. And so we're going to look at some scripture and some examples. So with that, let's open in prayer. Father, I thank you, O God, that we can come and look at your word. Father, I pray that your spirit, O God, would move and give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father God, I pray against the enemy, the devil. I command evil to flee from those who are listening. Father, that your spirit will influence the mind, and that their mind will be clear, that they'll be able to understand as they listen to your word, as your word is truth. Because we know that the enemy seeks to steal the word of God, as Jesus said, and we covered in part two, how he steals the seeds. The seeds, the word of God that's been planted into the hearts of men and their mind. And so we pray against it, Father, appealing to you. Bless this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just starting off, as a reminder, we've covered this before, but I'm going to repeat it again about our adversary. Who is our adversary? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Now, when you reflect on those verses, now we know it's not just the devil by himself. The devil has a whole fleet of angels, fallen angels, demons, as they're called, that serve him. They're all attacking. Notice he talked about the same experiences of suffering that are happening to your brother and the brothers in the world. Now we know there's going to be a lot of suffering in the world. Sometimes physical suffering, personal, or persecutions. It may be physical, mental. But the good news is we can overcome all of them. As God tells us, no temptation has overtaken us, but such is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And when we are tempted, he will provide us a way of escape so that we can endure. And this is in, if I remember correctly, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13. So the Father is the one that will give us a way so that we can endure it. Because the whole point is we're supposed to be enduring. Now, for some people, just since we're right here on this topic of suffering, if you haven't listened to the episode about the suffering, the true grace of God, we did an episode on suffering too. If you look at the book of 1 Peter, the 1 Peter tells us what our purpose is. What your purpose is, if you call yourself a saint. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, you've been called for this purpose. That's right, you. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And it goes on, describes it, to commit no sin, to have no deceit in your mouth, to not revile in return, to utter no threats. The Bible says that's your purpose. Now, earlier it said that this is grace. If you're able to do what is right and suffer for it and patiently endure, this is grace with God. That was from verse 20. Have you found that true grace? Did you know that's your purpose in this life? Are you able to walk in that purpose? Well, if you can't, it could be an indication that maybe you haven't been spiritually born again and spiritually baptized. He repeats it in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, we know he did. We know he did it righteously. Arm yourself with the same purpose. Again, your purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He's not talking about Christ. He's talking about those who have entered into this grace. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the desires or lusts of men, but for the will of God. Now, the Bible tells us to resist the devil. Not only initially when we come to the faith, but also afterwards. You know, initially when you look at in James chapter 4, it's talking about these who have quarrels and conflicts amongst them, that their pleasures wage war in their members. It says in verse 3 of chapter 4, you ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. Before it says you don't have because you don't ask. And then it says you ask, but you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, so you may spend it on your pleasures. Now, in these cases, a lot of times it's of somebody who hasn't even been born again yet. They haven't received the promise of the Holy Spirit. You know, in that case, they wage war against themselves. The war is inside of them, against their own wicked heart, because it hasn't been removed, hasn't been put to death. Now, we did a nice episode on overcoming sin, the war of the flesh explained. Listen to that. Here it calls the person adulterous. In verse 4, you adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. But that's not what God wants you to be. He wants you to be a friend of him. He wants you to be able to overcome. Not just overcome the sin that dwells within you, your own sinful heart, so he can remove that, but then that you'll be able to have the ability to resist the devil and overcome spiritually. But even before then, the devil doesn't even want you to receive the new heart and the new spirit. We did many episodes on the new heart and the new spirit. So the devil will seek to steal the seeds that are being planted, as Jesus talked about in the parables of the seeds. And he'll plant his own, as we covered in the previous The Devil is Prowling episodes. But for those who humble themselves, God is willing to give them a greater grace. In verse 6 it says, but he gives greater grace, therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, in this case, it's talking about the principles of someone coming to get a new heart, to be cleansed, to be free from the sinner. God has to change, and they have to receive the Holy Spirit. Even coming to God, you have to resist the devil. You have to turn to the truth. The devil's always opposed to the truth. So the principle exists when you first come to him, and we're going to see that it doesn't stop. The warfare continues. But you must be aware that there is a warfare. Resisting by turning from the lies of the devil and turning to the truth. Turning from evil and turning to righteousness. Not by your effort, you know, not by your trying. That's not grace. That's not faith. That's your works. That's works of the law. No, no, no. God is not a God of works of the law. He wants to do the work. The question is, have you come into his work? Not only is there an element of resisting and drawing near to God that you have to do initially to receive the Holy Spirit, but also in a continuation as we're warring against the devil, there's also renewal. But just looking at So yeah, let's look at the renewal piece, and then we'll go and I want to give an example of Christ and some other examples. In Ephesians chapter 4. Now we know a person is saved by grace, but there is a change. You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, right, talking about this change, a renewal has to happen. Now, first we're going to look at the results of a renewal that has already taken place, and then we're going to go and look at where he said when it happened. See, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1 through 3, it says, "And you were being dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked." That's called the old life. "According to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air," which is the devil, "of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." Well, that was your old life. You see, Paul here says that he too, among them, we too all formerly lived in the desires of the flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. You see, they still had the bad heart or the bad conscience, or the bad mind. Only God can change that. When he changes it, that life is going to be an old life, not a continued life. Now, part of this is you have to have a renewal, an initial renewal. In Ephesians chapter 4, speaking to those who, how you come to the truth in Christ, in 4:20 it says, chapter 4, verse 20, "But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard of him. If you've been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus." What is this truth? Verse 22, "That in reference to your former or old manner of life, that you laid aside, you put it off, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Gets back to the mind or the heart. The spirit has to do that. "And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth." That's how you're able to live this new life. You have to be renewed. The Holy Spirit does that. As we look, there's going to be a continual. You see, that's how you originally become freed from sin. We did episodes on that. How to overcome sin. God does that. He frees you from sin so that you aren't continuing it anymore. And then you're to continue to abide. Enkindle the Spirit of God, not to quench it. He gives warnings in chapter 4, verse 30. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption." No, we aren't to be doing that. Now, with respect to a continual renewing, I want to hit some of those verses here. In Romans chapter 1, or chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, for someone who has been renewed and they did resist, well, there's a continual renewal that has to happen as well, so that you can be the holy and living sacrifice. You, yourself, your body, not by walking in sin, but by walking in holiness and righteousness. Chapter 12, verse 1. "Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a holy and living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you're proving what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect." You see, when you continue to renew your mind, as we're going to look here in the next verse in Corinthians, day by day, you continue to kindle the Spirit. You continue, as the Bible talks about, washing in the Word. Continue to pray and seek the things above that allows you to be proving the will of God in your life, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. But if not, how are you going to resist the devil? How are you going to stand firm? You won't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Gets back to the heart, the inner man. "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond our all comparison, because these people were enduring. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Colossians, also discusses a continuing of a renewal. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, speaking to those, if you have been raised up with Christ, that's an if, not everybody has, then you're to keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, you're just be setting your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. You've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. As you keep reading down in Colossians, in verse 5 it says, "Therefore put to death the members of your earthly body, to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, or covetousness, which amounts to idolatry. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." So you can't have any of that in your life. In verse 7, "And in them you also once walked." That's how you used to walk, not anymore. When you were living in them. "But now you put them all aside." You can't have anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. No, you can't have any of that. Then he challenges some of these things, people, and says, "Stop lying to one another. Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him." We're to continue to be in that new man. Being renewed day by day in the truth, standing firm. One of the passages I want to go look at, you know, you look at Jesus. We know Jesus was tempted by the devil. Jesus didn't have all the temptations of the bad heart because he wasn't born with a bad heart. He didn't have all the wicked thoughts in him that defile a man that Jesus said. He was born with a pure heart. So he wasn't warring against himself. And we aren't supposed to either when we get the new heart, as we discussed in the New Heart, New Spirit episodes, as God's Word explains it. But in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was tempted by the devil and by the wicked people around him, just as true saints today will as well. But with respect to the devil, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, verse 8, this was the last test that he gave. And notice on all the other ones, we did an episode on this too. Jesus used the word of God to refute the devil. Because the devil tries to twist the word of God. But in verse 8, the devil took him, Jesus, up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, go, depart. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him. Behold, angels came and ministered to him. Jesus commanded the devil to flee. And he did. And we should be doing the same thing. man, evil to flee. He's always trying to come around. Now, does that mean when Jesus commanded him to flee, he could never come back? No, he came back to tempt him again later, like on the cross. Just as Jesus talks about when he would cast out demons. He says, if you don't go and get the man who they were cast out isn't filled, they're going to come back again. They continue to attack. They don't just go away and stop. They continue to go get more reinforcements and come back again. In 2 Corinthians, talking about taking thoughts captive, just like Jesus had to take the thoughts of the devil captive and all the temptations when he kept trying to put words in his mouth. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 3 it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Paul is acknowledging that we're still in this earthly body, but our warfare is not of the earthly body, it's spiritual, just as Christ's warfare was spiritual. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And we are destroying speculations and every lofty thought raised up against the knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Where do you think all these thoughts are coming from, people? Where do you think they're coming from? From the devil and the demons doing the work of the devil, planting thoughts in the heart of the mind. The devil goes and tempts, and he'll seek to tempt in various, many different ways. A lot of them is the battles in the mind. Look at Judas, Ananias, they lost that. Now, obviously they didn't have the Holy Spirit either, but still it shows how easy it is for him to get into their mind. We have those examples. If you look at Judas, if you go to John chapter 13, verse 2, it says, "During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon, to betray him," referring to Jesus. Again, the heart, the seat of your thoughts. Why do you think there's people in the world that do really, really wicked things? Well, one, they're born with a bad heart, but then the devil can go in there and then, you know, add additional thoughts to it. People can go into further depravity. Acts chapter 5, verse 3. "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land?" So all of you who are listening, you must understand, as we discussed when Jesus talked about the heart and what defiles a person, he said it's the wicked thoughts, the sinful thoughts. That's what causes you to be defiled. That is the sin. Not the outward murder, it's the inward murder, the inward covetousness in the thought. Because it comes from the heart. So the first thing you have to do in your fight against the forces of darkness and resisting the devil, you have to go to God to get the new heart and the new spirit. You must draw near to God and get that new spirit and the new heart. When the wicked heart is cleansed, it's purified, then you don't have to worry about fighting and warring against yourself. Now you just warring against the devil and his thoughts that he tries to infiltrate into your mind, or the lies and the twisting of God's word to pull you back into darkness after you escape the corruption that's in the world by lust. As Peter discusses in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you've become a partaker of the divine nature, now standing firm. In Thessalonians, you know, in the beginning we talked about suffering. that if we are in the true grace of God, then you will be able to stand firm and endure through suffering. You've been strengthened with all the power of God in the inner man. But there's still a danger, because Satan will attempt to use sufferings to deceive people and cause them to fall. We have that in example in the book of 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4 through 8, Paul says, "For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know." And earlier in verse 3, he said that they were trying to strengthen and encourage their faith so that no one would be disturbed by these afflictions, for you know yourselves that we have been destined for this. But something must have been happening. Satan was tempting them with afflictions. So in verse 5, it says, "For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you and our labor would be in vain." As it turns out, these people came around and it appears that they were strengthened, because we have a report, a follow-up. Verse 6, "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, that you always think kindly of us and longing to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brethren, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through your faith. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord." Now, part of standing firm in the Lord, you know, obviously you have to receive the Holy Spirit, be converted into the new creation that God does, the work he does. You need to, yes, take captive thoughts that are against the knowledge of God, as Jesus did. Command evil to flee from you. But you also need to make sure you're remaining and abiding and kindling the Spirit, and making sure you're girded up with the full armor of God. So we'll end with that. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." Remember, people, it's not about our strength and our trying. If you're trying to live a godly life, there's a big, big problem. That's a major red flag. If you're trying to overcome sin, major, major red flag. That's works of the law. That's works of man. That's not God. "Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." The devil's going to scheme against you. Verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly." Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." Well, first you have to come to the truth, the true knowledge of God, to receive the Holy Spirit. Then you have to continue to stand in that true knowledge and continue to take thoughts captive that are raised up against that true knowledge. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Are you walking in righteousness? Righteousness that comes through faith, that's revealed through faith, that Paul discusses in Romans. Are you a slave of righteousness? Were you spiritually baptized? Having shod your feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace. Is God making your path straight? Is he giving you opportunity to share your testimony? to share the word of God, the good news, how you can be freed from sin, and now a slave and live and walk in righteousness and no longer do the works of the devil, only bearing good fruit. In addition to all this, verse 16, take up the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Continue to refuse to accept the lies. He's going to continue to bombard you with lies. Take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And the helmet of salvation, again, knowing that those who have received the Spirit of God, it's a pledge of your inheritance until the end of your salvation. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again, he says, and take the breastplate of faith, chapter 5, verse 8, and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's what we live for. That's why we endure to the end. Not just by the power of God, but also for the hope of the redemption of our bodies at the end of the age. As Jesus said, if we endure to the end. And again, the Word of God. The Word of God, active and sharper than any double-edged sword, as discussed in Hebrews. We need to be using that Word of God. Are you grounded in it? Do you meditate on it? I can assure you the devil's not stopping trying to get your mind into a state of complacency, trying to weaken the Word of God. You must continue. It's the bread of life. We have to continue to feed on it. And then walk in it. To be the doer, not the hearer who deceives themselves, as James chapter 1 discusses. And verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. It's a spiritual warfare, people. Not only do we need to be resisting and standing firm, we need to be prayer and petitioning for the other saints to stand firm. Father, I thank you for your word. There's a lot of ignorance in the world that does not know the great spiritual warfare that is being waged. The first thing people need to know is they have to have power. They have to be freed from sin. They cannot serve two masters. There's so many people in the world who don't realize that they're still serving two masters. They don't realize, Father, that you're going to accuse them of being an adulteress. They haven't been freed from the one yet, as your son Jesus spoke. Father, I pray that people come to the truth and humble themselves. I thank you for your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As a reminder, if anybody has questions, please send us an email. I'll put it in the text of the description, but it's Warriors for Christ, YT, stands for YouTube, YT, at gmail.com. Email, we'd love to speak with you, answer your questions, point to scripture, have a discussion either through email or a phone. We have a Zoom link as well, so we can support international calls. We do that with the men in Kenya. Several of them. So please reach out if you have questions. God bless.